sunshine and rain, even sorrow and pain, Jesus is still my comfort and guide. And his love comforts me, and his grace has set me free, and someday I shall stand by his side. I am blessed.
Amen.
Every day.
That's right.
That I live, I am blessed.
It's true.
When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I have shoes for my feet.
Think about it.
I have plenty to eat and a home in heaven.
I say glory.
Brothers and sisters on this earth, they are mine, to my new birth.
That's right.
We shall share in that home beyond the sky.
I am blessed.
Every day,
yeah,
that I live, I am blessed.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Till I lay my
glory to God.
Rest. I am blessed.
Think about that. Glory to God.
I am blessed.
Woo! Cup running over, bless
you. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Just over yonder, beyond the river, there is a city,
yeah,
of pure delight,
amen,
where many loved ones,
yeah,
are congregating,
amen,
with palms of victory in robes of white.
Just over yonder,
there'll
be no harm,
yeah,
those only days of prayer
will ever come.
I don't want.
When we get home, there's nothing here for
heaven
but this
abode.
So often here we are left alone, but over yonder, hearts will grow fonder, and separation will never come. See my Savior,
yeah,
up on his throne.
I lifted up
and hear a welcome ring out through heaven. Oh, weary pilgrim, this is your home.
Amen. Just over yonder, there'll be no pardon.
That's right. Oh,
days of
heaven.
Like that, I wouldn't want my music either.
No.
All right. As Brother Arnold said, just over yonder is not too far, really.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
That's right. Good version. Thank you for it.
That's right. Blink
the light. We're glad you're here this morning in the house of the Lord. Good to see you, regulars. Good to see some hadn't been for a while, some had never been, some will never be again. We're glad you're all here this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Let's open our Bibles this morning to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 3, this morning. Seems like the older I get, the harder it is for me to get going in the mornings. Me and Brother Eddie talked about that a minute ago before church. And plus, I, of course, messed the about three services preaching. It seemed like that always affects me. And when I miss getting to preach, and I don't know, it has a negative effect on me some way or another. So when I get in the nursing home, some of you young ones around here, when you come to see me, because the rest of them being there with me too, when you come to see me, just push me out somewhere and have me a Bible, let me preach a little bit, and I'll probably be all right. You'll turn to Mark 3, and we're going to read five verses there in Mark chapter 3 this morning. It seemed like the Lord led us this way all week, so we're going to try to preach his thought. Brother Ziegler, of course, he's in heaven now. Great old preacher from over North Carolina. Love the Lord, love to pray, love the Word. And he used to say when it comes time for the preacher to preach, then it's his time to put the spotlight on God. And I said a lot of times God don't get the spotlight. Never, hardly ever in this world does God get the spotlight. But when we come to the house of the Lord, God ought to have the spotlight on him.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus. The Bible said he entered again into the synagogue. Every time I see that word, I think about Scott. When he was a little kid back years ago, we were playing a word game. I forget what it's called, but we were playing that word game. And you have a card that has the word on it. Everybody else tries to guess it. You give them hints, you know. We never could get it. So after it's done all over it and everything, we asked Scott, said, "What was the word?" And he said, "Synagogue." I never forgot that. And he said, "There was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." Thank you. Be seated this morning. Lord, we thank you for Lord's day that you've let us live to see another one. And Lord, we pray today as we come to worship you in spirit and truth and gather around, Lord, your book today. We pray that you'd feed us today. We pray you'd clean us today. We pray you'd fill us today.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, all the things that we need today as children of God. And Lord, we pray for those lost sheep, Lord, and that are wandering today. And they wandered in here today. And Lord, we pray this would be the day that Lord, they'd be found, and Lord, that they'd become one of his fold today. Lord, I pray. Lord, I ask you this morning to forgive me, Lord, of my sins, failures. I ask you to, Lord, give me liberty today to preach, bring the things that I've studied and tried to prepare, Lord, to my mind, the things that, Lord, were of me, and it's not anything I need to use and to leave it out and put what you want in. But I pray when it's all said and done that you'd be pleased with it today. Lord, meet with us and do something for us today. And we'll give you all the praise for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
It's interesting study within itself just to see all that Jesus encountered when he went weekly to the synagogue. And he always went. It was his custom to do that. The synagogue was a whole lot like a church building. I've looked at some pictures and things, and they had a pulpit, and they had benches, places where people could sit. And just as far as the looks go, it looked a whole lot like a church building of sorts. And Jesus would go there every week. He would go there, and it was his custom, his habit to do that. The Bible said in Mark chapter 4, and it's interesting just to follow him as he goes there each week, and the things that are recorded for us in the Word of God. And for instance, just out of Mark alone, in Mark 1 and verse 21 through 23, the Bible said that he went there to the synagogue, and there was a man there in the congregation that had an unclean spirit. And so we don't often think about unclean spirits being in church services, but I'm persuaded they are. And I'm persuaded that there's probably maybe someone even here today with an unclean spirit.
Yes.
Wasn't all that unusual, really, when you really start to consider it. And then in Mark 6, he went again into the synagogue, and the Bible said there were many there, and they were unbelievers, and he couldn't do a lot because they didn't believe on him. And I'm sure today that there are probably in this congregation some folks that maybe are unbelievers today. And he can't do much without faith. It's impossible to please God. The Bible said we're saved by grace through faith. The Bible said that when we pray, we're to have faith. And we just can't get much done without faith. But in our text today, that I really want to focus on today, there's manifest within the congregation there. There's manifested a man there, and the man has a withered member, the Bible said. Luke tells us it was his right hand, which is very important and significant, as we'll see as we go on into the sermon today. But there was a man there in that congregation that the Bible said that it was manifest that he had a withered member. It meant that word withered just means it was dried up, kind of paralysis-like, just no use to it, smaller than what the other arm was, and it was just withered up. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything today? Well, you know, the Bible says this withered up right arm was part of his body.
Yep, right.
And you see, today, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, I heard Brother Stacy finishing up there in his Sunday school lesson. I think he quoted from that chapter or read from that chapter. But in verse 27, the Bible said that us that are saved, that we are members of his body.
Right.
We are members of his body.
Yeah.
Because of that, it gives me my text today. And I want to preach today on the withered up church member.
Amen.
The withered up church member.
Right.
There is some, you know, there is some that have just withered up. They're like this man's arm. At one time it was useful.
Right.
At one time it was like the others. But now it's withered up.
Yep.
This is a wonderful text here, and it brings so much out. And I just want to look at three things today concerning the withered up church member. Now, the Bible said in verse 1, there was a man there which had a withered hand. Now, I want to emphasize the cause of it. What caused this? You say, well, Brother Rick, I followed you down through all five verses, and it doesn't list any cause for this, and you are exactly right. Because our text does not list any cause for this withered up member, we'll have to look other places in the Word of God.
Right.
You know, the Bible is a wonderful book, and if you'll keep looking, searching, and words and references, it'll finally give you some meaning to what you're looking for. And there is in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there is another man that has a withered arm. Over in 1 Corinthians 13 or 1 Kings 13, the Bible says there in verse 1 down through verse 6, it said, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah. I like it when a man of God comes.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible said there came a man of God out of Judah. You can usually recognize one if you've ever been around one. You can tell God's man.
Right.
And he said he came out of Judah and by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense.
Yeah.
And he cried, this man of God cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and man's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he had put forth against him dried up.
Right.
So that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar was also rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Now here's another man that has a withered member. And in his case, we are told what caused the withering up of that member. You say, what was it? Well, he rejected the word of God. He rejected what the man of God said. And really, we could just say that it was sin. Amen. God sent his prophet to proclaim the word, and it was rejected, the Bible said. I want to say this morning, listen, that sin will cause church members to wither up. Amen. Yes, sir, it will. The more sin that we allow in our life, the more we reject the Word of God and reject the man of God, the more that we as church members will just wither away. Just wither up. Now, again, the Bible said it was his right hand over in Luke. You see, the right hand stands for power.
Right.
All through the Bible, whenever you read about that right hand, it's talking about the right hand of power.
Man.
Can I tell you this morning that sin will short circuit the power. We get sin in our life, it will short circuit the power of God that's flowing through our life. Amen. I'll tell you something else that right hand stands for. It always stands for approval. Approval. When you go through the Bible and you read about that right hand, he said, put the sheep on the right hand. They're approved. All through the Old Testament and Psalms, different places, that right hand is always symbolic of approval. And I tell you that sin will bring about the disapproval of God on your life. I'm going to preach along these lines again tonight. But I want to tell you, just because we're saved, it don't mean that we don't need to watch sin and keep sin out of our lives. Amen. I want you to know this morning that sin, I don't care if you teach Sunday school, if we preach behind the pulpit, if we sing in the choir, if we play the piano, if we take up the offering, I tell you, sin, I will bring a disapproval of God upon our life. Many times we as church leaders and people in the church, we sometimes we get the idea somehow or another the devil does it. He makes us think we're above the law. He makes us think we're above what we do is all right. No matter what we do, it's all right. But if somebody else does it, it's wrong. Amen. Well, can I tell you this morning that sin in this preacher's life or sin in your life will bring about the disapproval of God, and it will cut the power of God off in your life. Amen. Yes, it will.
Amen.
Can I tell you something else about that right hand? It always in the Bible is symbolic of help.
Right.
God's going to give help through that right hand.
Amen.
And I tell you, brother, when we get sin in our life and turn away from the Lord and begin to wither up as a church member, we render ourselves helpless. Amen. Until we go to the Lord and let him help us with the sin that's in our life, God's not going to be able to do anything in our life. Amen. So we see that this is caused by sin.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what causes sometimes a church member to wither up.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Now, you don't have time for me to tell you about all the withered up members I've watched wither up.
Bless his heart.
Right.
Because of sin.
Amen.
Amen.
Sin got in their life.
Yeah.
And it caused them to wither up. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else. This don't come from God's book, but it comes from the history book of my life. When I was in high school, I worked at the emergency room, and then later on, I got into inhalation therapy, and I would give people breathing treatments, put oxygen on, all that kind of stuff. And I remember a man I ran upon one day while I was doing that. That man was muscular looking, he was healthy looking, and he looked like any other man except for the fact that one of his arms was withered plumb out. Of course, I didn't ask him what happened. I wouldn't have done that. But over the course of going and giving breathing treatments and taking care of the oxygen and all that stuff. He told me one day what happened. He said, when I was young, he said they took me down to the health department, and he said they took a little needle and a little small needle and said they injected me with a polio vaccine. And he said there's something wrong with the vaccine. And for some reason or other, it caused my arm to just quit growing at that point and to just dry up. And that's why it is the way it is right now. He said a little small needle. You know what causes some church members to dry up? Just little small things. Just little small things. Some little something don't really amount to anybody or anything. You know, somebody didn't look at me. Somebody said something the wrong way. And we all have that experience. Let's not try to act like we're different. The Bible said we all suffer the same afflictions. Sometimes I wonder what's wrong with you concerning me. I'm sure sometimes there's times you wonder what's wrong with me concerning you. But if you haven't learned this yet, we don't all have good days every day. We don't all feel the same every day. Amen. And we let little bitty things, just small things that don't amount to anything, we let them get us out of church. Whether or not getting away. I've been to Vistam. Well, I ain't going back over there no more. Because they said a little something I don't agree with. Hey, if we're going to leave because we don't agree with each other, hey, let's get the keys and go home.
Amen.
Now, we may agree about salvation. We may agree about the King James Bible, and that even be disputable, I've learned over the years. I found out people that pledged to it, people said they believed it. When they begin to wither and wane away, they go across town to some NIV church or the King James Bible out the window. So that's even debatable about that. But you know, little small things. Let me let you in on a little secret. Nobody knows all about the Word of God.
Amen.
So I bet a guy said he did. Yeah, he said he did. He thinks he does.
Right. Amen.
But the Bible says when you think yourself something, you're nothing.
Right.
The Bible said knowledge puffeth up. Amen. Right. My experience has been different. Seems like the more I read, the more I study, the more I find out, the less I know. But little things, you know, people get upset about little things.
Right.
I understand I'd leave the church, you know, if it was some crucial doctrine. I'd leave the church if it, you know, was something really, really bad. But I'm not talking about big things. I'm talking about little bitty things that don't amount to anything. Amen. Causes people start withering up.
Right.
Amen. Now, this doesn't come from my history book or God's book, but it comes from the medical book.
Right.
You say, what do you mean? Well, in studying on that and looking about that, I found out that sometimes this withering, sometimes these withered up church members, sometimes it comes because of a problem with the spine.
Amen.
That's where all the nerves run through, you know.
Amen. Right.
And they say sometimes a nerve that can be a problem, maybe an injury, maybe a fall. Maybe something else, but there is a problem with the spine, and people become paralyzed sometimes from the waist down.
Right.
Sometimes just one member. Sometimes it's something to do with the spine in connection with the brain, like folks that have strokes and things like that.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've seen some withered up church members.
Yeah. Bless them, Lord.
Amen.
Because they had spine pop.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 You say, what do you mean? Well, for instance, one of our brothers here, that, matter of fact, he's the one that wrote, we all have the same afflictions.
Right.
And I was just reading here in verse 69 of Matthew 26. It said, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest.
Right.
Yeah.
The spine problem.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We've all faced that. Oh, yeah, you're a witness to that 7-year-old kid Oh, yeah, you don't have any problem talking to them other Christians and telling them about the Lord.
Yeah.
But you pull up the gas pumps, and on the other side is these motorcycle guys with long hair, tattoos, and Hell's Angels all over their jacket, and God says, go talk to them.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Little spine problem, amen.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember it. Several years ago, we went on visitation. I don't remember who was with me, but maybe Jack. Some of you was with me. We went everywhere. It was one of them days when nobody was home. We started back into town, and I was about out of gas. And I thought, man, we hadn't got to talk to anybody. And we pulled up to them gas pumps, and sure enough, there on the other side was three Harley Davidson motorcycles and three guys filling up them motorcycles. And wouldn't it be just like the Lord said, there's just somebody coming.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Well, I had a little spine problem. I mean, I choked. I chickened a little bit. But my fear of the Lord drove me to do it anyway. And I went over there and shook hands with them and talked to them. They said they were on the way somewhere to some kind of a motorcycle event or something. And I told them I was a preacher. And told them that here in Glasgow, and give them a track, talk to them a few minutes, and you know what? They turned out to be pretty nice folks.
Amen.
They said, well, we go through Glasgow every now and then on the way to some kind of a meet, and said, next time maybe we'll stop in. I said, that'd be good. Amen.
Yeah.
I remember one time me and somebody walking downtown, we come up on that tattoo shop over there. And we decided to just go in there. We went in. Of course, you know how they look in the tattoo shop. I mean, you know, wild looking. But I'll tell you what, they accepted us, and they were asking questions. They at least cared enough to ask questions.
Right. Amen.
And we stood there for 30 minutes just answering their questions. Amen.
Amen.
But what I'm saying is sometimes our spine problem, because we don't want to stand up. We don't want to step up. Amen. I've seen some people that have withered up, got out of church, not here today, maybe not anywhere today. You know why? Because he had one of them women that wanted to run the house. Tell the husband what to do. He was so henpecked he had to roost on the foot of the bed at night. And if she said jump, he'd say how high. Yeah. The Bible don't teach that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Amen.
You say, hey, preacher, this is 2015. I'm not against women.
Right.
Man, right.
Right.
I like them.
Hey!
Don't put me down as one of them that likes them, you know.
Yeah.
I can't stand that stuff.
Yeah.
Where would we be without the women?
Yeah. Right.
Hey. We'd be working the nursery. They come to me a minute ago. They said, who's working the nursery? We can't find a nursery list. And I said, I don't know. Leon come around there and said, who's working the nursery? Marty's standing there. He said, I'll work it. I said, well, if we can find somebody to watch, we would watch you. We got to have the women.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
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 But I didn't write the book. I just preached it to read.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God's order is that God's the head.
Yeah.
Then the man.
Right.
God.
Then the woman.
Yes. Right.
Then the children.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
And then the grandchildren move up to the head.
Well said, brother.
It's about the way it goes, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? If everybody get in their order,
right.
Yes.
Amen.
Hey, it's a wonderful life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
If you've got a husband that's following the Lord, he's not a dictator, he's not a wife beater, he's not a woman hater, he just follows the Lord, obeys the Lord, he'll treat his wife right.
Yeah, well,
hey. It shouldn't be hard to obey him if she's a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, it's going to be hard to obey that Christian husband.
Yes. Right.
A lot of times that's a problem.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you women look at me like, where's Melvin?
Yeah.
Preach on, brother.
Hey, sometimes it ain't the wife and it ain't the husband. Sometimes it's the children.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
They won't step up. Talk about how people wither, how church members wither.
Right.
A lot of people have got out of this church, I don't know about any others, but a lot of people have got out of this church because their children want to go somewhere else.
Right. Right. Amen.
You say, where do they want to go? Well, they want to go somewhere
where they had stuff we didn't have here.
Right.
We have a good children's program here. We work with the children. We do all that.
Amen.
But you see, some churches, the children runs the church.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
I know a church a few years ago, they actually told all the old people to get out and said, let these young people have this church. Let them do something with it. Only one problem there, hon, you need to think about.
Yeah.
Young people ain't got no money.
Yeah.
It's them older people that have paid for the church, have started the church, have worked the church, have prayed for the church, and they'll turn it over to you when the time is right.
Right,
yeah.
Right. That's it.
Right.
Well, our churches are withered up and dried up and gone down the tube. Because of everything that's geared to the young people.
Right.
Some people left because the preacher had to get on their kids. You don't do that here, do you? Well, I try not to.
They need it.
But I have.
Amen.
Every time I ever done it, it didn't work out too good.
Bless him.
I was preaching a revival one time, and there's a young couple sitting on the back, about 14 years old. And I was trying to preach, and this back there trying to date and court and all that. And finally, I just took it all I could do. I just stopped and called them down. Boy, you could throw water over that place. Mm-hmm. It got quiet in there, and to be quite honest with you, they cut me off right then. Mm-hmm. When I finished preaching, I went, and when I give the invitation, guess who was the first two down to the altar?
Yeah. Yeah.
That young man, that young woman.
Amen.
Amen.
First was the altar. I went over and prayed with them. Had a pretty good altar service after that. I went back to the door, Brother Lance, and people were coming out. And this man come out by me. He stopped a minute. He said, can I talk to you a minute, preacher? I said, yeah. He said, what was that young couple doing that you called them down? I said, well, about everything but kissing. If I'd have spit on him, he'd have sizzled.
Yeah.
He was so mad. He said, I've tried every way in the world to get them kids in church, and now they'll never come back. Hey, they came back every night all week long. Guess who didn't come back?
Right. Amen.
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 Yeah.
It wasn't the kids.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I got to find a sweet spot in this message.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on and look at verse 3. Verse 3, the Bible said, he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Now we've been talking about the cause of withered up church members. What causes them?
Yeah, man.
Right.
Sin, small things.
Yeah.
Spine trouble, afraid to stand up.
Amen.
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 But look at the condition here. You say, where's that at? Well, right off the bat, it tells us, part of the condition here, it says, he said, stand forth. Now this lets me know that he must have been in the back. Because the Lord said, stand first. Now I know everybody can't sit on the front row. We don't have enough room for everybody on the front row. And Eddie's not about to give up his seat.
Don't believe it.
Amen. It don't bother me people sit on the back because, some folks have got to sit on the back.
Right.
But what bothers me is when church members start withering up, I start digressing back.
Yes.
And that bothers me when they start up here.
Yeah.
And then you get that little vibe like something good.
Right.
And they start digressing back.
Amen.
See, really where they're headed is they're headed for that door back there.
Right.
You're trying, and listen, sometimes God, you ever raise a garden? Ever raised the fruit? Jack, the only way to get more fruit is to prune it.
Right.
You got to cut it back. Sometimes God prunes the church.
Yes, you're right.
Amen.
Sometimes God has to prune the church. It ain't always the devil. Sometimes it's God doing it.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes it's the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
People start digressing back. Now, it always bothers me when I see people up here start moving back there. You won't be moving for a few weeks, will you?
Yeah.
Boy, I get excited when I start seeing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come
Amen.
This way.
Woo! Amen.
And other people must know that too, because sometimes people come up to me and say, Pastor, I just want you to know we're not going to be up front today. because we got to leave early, or we got the grandkids with us, and we don't want them to upset anybody. And so they must feel that way too. They must feel like that maybe that we might sense there's something wrong if they move that way. But, oh, I like it when they start coming this way.
Amen.
Start growing in the Lord, and they come up here, and I walk by and shake their hand. They say, "Preacher, I just want to get up here because I'm kind of distracted back there, and I want to get all this prayer. I want to get all this prayer. That excites me." Amen.
Amen.
You see, there's that withdrawal.
Yeah.
Then there's that waning. You say, "What's that mean?" Well, that waning, that means a decline in fellowship.
Right.
Do remember again, that's that right hand.
Amen.
If I walk up to Brother Eddie and I say, "How you doing, Brother Eddie?" I give him that right hand of fellowship.
Amen.
Yeah.
"How you doing, Brother Nathan? How you doing, Brother Steve?" So I'm giving that right hand of fellowship.
Right.
We never say, "Let's have the left hand of fellowship."
Right.
We never do that. It's always the right hand of fellowship.
Amen.
And you know, when church members start withering up, they get where they don't want to shake hands.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, you're right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, 35 years, you learned all. A lot of it. And they used to come out that door and shake your hand. Now they're going outside.
Yeah.
Oh, me, brother.
You see them at Walmart, and they'd run you down. Want to shake hands with you, and you see them at Walmart, and they duck and run 3 aisles down.
Yeah.
I'll just let you know, if you do me that way, I will hunt you down.
Yeah. That's as bold as
life.
I have done it before.
Yeah.
Nobody's left this church. Nobody's here at this church that I've got any thought against. I can shake hands with the best of them. Amen.
Yeah.
You say, why? Because when we don't do that shows there's a problem inside of us, and there's a waning of fellowship, and people start withdrawing, and they was coming Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, but now they're starting to wither up, and it's not a job change, it's not a health problem, it's not a nursing home problem, it's not a hospital problem, it's just the fact that they're starting to wither up.
Amen. And
they're not coming like they once came. They're not attending like they once attended.
Amen.
And they start missing visitation and
prayer
meetings if they ever will, and they start to withdraw from all these things, and what happens, there's a withering up taking place.
Amen.
Amen.
It's good preaching, brother.
Amen.
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 Withering up. Somebody's taught. This is some of the stuff's kind of like having cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You can have it real bad before you ever know it's happening to you.
Mm-hmm. You're
right. Amen.
That's why the Lord points this stuff out through preaching,
Amen.
So we can look, check ourselves.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the conditions that are produced because of a withered up church member.
Right.
Well, the fact is, they start to withdraw. And on the way out and headed out and will finally go out if something don't happen. They start waning in all of their fellowship and all their attendance and everything. And then they start withholding.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
You say, "What do you mean?"
Amen.
Praise.
You know, like that.
Right.
They start withholding. They quit their tithing.
Right.
They quit their tithing. They're no longer doing this while singing's going on. They're withholding their praise from God.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
I just heard a story. I don't think I told it to y'all because I just learned it the other day. But a preacher told about going down into Tennessee to preach at a church. And he went down there and said, "The pastor said, I got to tell you what's happened, preacher." And he said, "We let our deacons take up the offering." And he said, we have 6 deacons that take up the offering. And he said, "We had a terrible thing happen this summer." And he said, "What was it?" He said, "Well," he said, "one day one of our men come to me." And he said, "Brother pastor, I need to talk to you for a minute in private." And said, "We went in private. And he said, I got to tell you, something terrible had happened." He said, "One of my deacons, one of my ushers came to me
And he said, Pastor, I don't know how to tell you this, but we saw Brother John taking money out of the offering plate and putting it in his pocket while we were counting it. And the preacher said, oh no, he said, that couldn't be so. He said, he's been here for 30 years. He said, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He said, I know he's been having some trouble. And he said, please don't say anything about this to anybody. And he said, just keep watching. And he said, hopefully it won't happen again. But if it does, then we'll have to do something. He said, about 3 weeks later, the deacon come to him again with tears in his eyes. He said, Pastor, he did it again. He said, I saw him take that money out of the offering plate, and I saw him put it in his pocket. The preacher said, okay, we'll have to do something. They called a meeting.
Bless
the deacons
you, Lord.
Came, and they brought this deacon in. And the preacher said, John, said we this has happened twice. And he said, both times we got witnesses, but they said you took money out of the offering plate and put it in your pocket while you were counting it. He said, John, we know you've been having a hard time. We would have helped you if you'd come to us. We would have took up an offering. We've done something for you. He said, well, it's true, preacher. And he said, it didn't just start. He said, I've been doing it for 15 or so years. And he said, go ahead and call the sheriff. Tell him to come and get me. Tell him to take me down to the jail and lock me up. He said, because it's true, preacher. But he said, before you call, before he gets here, he said, I got one question for you. And the preacher said, all right. He said, what's the difference in me stealing it after they put it in there and half your congregation steal it before it ever gets in there?
You got it.
Amen.
You got it.
Amen.
Well.
Yeah.
Well. Right.
Hey.
But you see, when people start withdrawing, they start withholding.
Right.
You know how church gets rid of a preacher, don't you? Let me tell you, in case you ever want to get rid of him.
Bless the Bible.
And then he cut his money off.
Yeah.
He can't get by. He can't pay his bills. He can't buy his groceries. They cut his money off. That's how it works in some of these churches.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Amen.
So we see here a cause. We see here a condition. But then look here. In verse 5. And he said, and he looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. And he saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. We see a cure.
Amen.
Amen.
We see a cure. Now, both of our places we've read today, both of them was talking about a man with a withered hand.
Right.
And in both cases, they were cured.
Amen.
You read a little farther over here, where we read in 1 Kings 13, you'll find that it says down there about verse 6 that his hand was restored.
Right.
Man of God, he went to the man of God. He prayed to God. God restored his hand.
Amen.
And here in our text today, the Bible says that this man with a withered hand, that it was restored. And I want to say this morning. I'm so glad that it ends that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because withered up church members can be restored.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
God rest you.
Amen.
You say, how you know? Well, one reason I've been one.
Right.
The other reason is I've seen it happen a few
times
over the years that they've been restored.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you this, it involves some things. For a withered up church member to be restored and to get back where they were or even beyond that, it involves some things. You say, what's it involve? Well, the first thing it involves is the Word.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen.
See Mark 3:3, it said, and he said,
right.
He's the Word. He's
yeah.
the stand
yeah.
for. The cure for withered church members is the book.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
Health to your flesh, life to those.
You see, the book gives life.
Yeah, it does.
Amen.
1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
That lives.
Amen.
Amen.
through the Word of God.
Right.
That's where we got life.
That's amen. Right.
Quick, Mark.
Can I tell you that the Word of God can restore life?
Yeah, it will.
Right.
Our bones are coming together.
We get withered up. We need revival.
Yeah.
Amen.
The whole country needs revival.
Yeah.
Every church I know needs revival.
Yeah.
Every preacher I know needs revival.
Yeah.
Every Christian I know needs revival.
Yeah. Amen.
The psalmist said, yea, though I walk in the midst of trouble.
Yeah.
He said, God's able to revive.
Yeah.
Psalms 85 and verse 6, the psalmist said, will thou not revive us?
Yeah.
Don't mess it again.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
God's able to restore.
Oh.
God's able to revive again.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
He sure is.
Yes,
yes. See that word? It restores life. You know, like in John 11, Lazarus, come forward.
Yeah.
He'd been dead, but the Word spoke.
Amen.
And life came again.
Yeah.
And he revived again. And in the next chapter, he's sitting at the table, fellowship restored, eating with the Lord, life restored. I'm telling you that the Word is where it starts.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
But then let me say this. Even though the Bible's true, even though the Bible's powerful, even though the Bible is a life-giving book, even though the Bible has no errors and no mistakes in it, even though in our country Bibles are plenteous, even though in our country we have the Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
But can I tell you, the Word alone won't do it.
Right.
There has to be a willingness.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
You see, the Bible said, Jesus said, stretch it out.
Amen.
Right.
Jesus, before it said stretch it out, he said, stand forth.
Right.
Yeah, I came forth.
Amen.
Amen.
You ever notice in the Bible, when people get right with God, they usually come and follow.
Yeah.
Jesus is calling to him.
Amen.
Like here in our case, he told this man to stand forth.
Right. Amen.
Right.
And we're all kind of like, you know, we like to do it in secret. We like to do it in the dark. We like to do it where nobody will know about it and nobody will see it.
Like,
I've heard Billy Graham say 50,000 times, I guess, I asked people to come forward public because Jesus, everyone he called them forth public.
That's right.
There is some truth to that. Amen?
Yeah.
But I'm saying that there has to be a willingness.
Yeah.
Amen.
The best preacher in the world, whoever that might be, he can't do you any good if you're not willing.
Right.
Amen.
The best sermon that's ever been preached will not do anything for you if you're not willing.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Even Jesus couldn't do anything when people were not willing.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's why I so use where you're at, where you've been. You've not progressed. You've not matured. You've not grown.
Right.
It's not because the Lord don't want you to, not because he can't, but you're not willing.
Right. Amen.
When he says come forth, you won't do it.
Amen.
When he commands an action, he said stretch it out, you're not willing to do it.
Right.
But there has to be a willingness to do it. Even Jesus cannot help people that are not willing.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
A lot of people have the idea they're going to sit back there. And I have people tell me this, well, when he gets ready for me, he'll get me.
Right.
He's ready for you now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come now.
Can I tell you all he's going to do concerning the sinner he's done on Calvary?
Right. Amen.
That's all God's going to do.
Amen.
He suffered and died and bled on the cross, and he's not going to do anything else. He's not done it all.
Right. Right.
And when he rose from the grave on that third day, he bounced the ball over into your court, and the next move's yours.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Yeah.
Amen, Brother
Rick.
Amen.
Amen.
There has to be a willingness. You remember Jesus told those Pharisees and scribes, he said, you will not come to me.
Right.
That's it. Right.
But you can have life.
Right.
I believe hell's going to be full of so many people that just sit around waiting for God to do some kind of a miracle thing and lift them up and fly them over the crowd and let angels come all around them
and
hear bells and see lights and all this stuff.
I
tell you, listen, I'm telling you, angels came around him when he was on the cross dying.
Yeah. Amen.
Heaven spoke when he died on the cross. God spoke out of heaven about His Son. Amen. But I'm telling you this, listen, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou shalt be saved. And whatever experience God wants to add to it, that's His business. But you're not saved because of what you saw. You're saved because of what you believe.
Amen.
Amen.
You'll be a willing. Praise the Lord. Remember that young rich ruler, and he wanted to get saved.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He came to the Lord, and the Lord said, okay.
Yeah.
And he played along with his little game. And the Lord said, okay, here's what you got to do.
Right.
But the Bible said he went away sorrowful.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see, even Jesus couldn't save him.
Right. You're right.
Amen.
Even Jesus couldn't save him against his own will.
Yeah. Right.
God's given us a will. And if we're willing, He's willing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know it's God's will that all be saved, but you and I both know all ain't going to be saved.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We know that. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because some men will not to be saved.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Right.
But oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Amen.
When people do get restored.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, wouldn't you like to have been there that day?
Yeah.
The Lord says, here's this little guy with a little withered up hand.
Yeah.
And he's been standing to the back because he's embarrassed about it. Now the Lord calls him up front. The Lord tells him to stretch it out. He stretches it out.
Yeah.
And the Lord just let it be fixed.
Hey.
He opened it up.
Yeah.
Can't you see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it would have been wonderful.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
And can't you see him doing like that?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, maybe he'd done like that a little bit, but now he's like this. He's been restored. And now he can raise his hands. He can praise God. Can't you see him running around all over the building and saying, I'm so glad Jesus came today.
Yeah.
I'm so glad Jesus did something for me today. I'm telling you, it's wonderful how to see people restored. It's wonderful to see withered people come back to life.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to
God.
Me and Marty's close. We've known each other for years. That's why I rag him like I do.
Yeah.
He'd probably get by more toward me than anybody else.
Yeah.
He won't mind me telling this. You know, we used to go to church together years ago. That's why we was close. We've always been good friends since we met in church and stuff. But Marty's family kind of withered. Got out of church. For a long time, we went visiting a bunch of times on visitation. We just wore them out. I guess they may have got tired of seeing us coming. They decided to start going. Jack, he'd always want to go over there. Marty, he'd always have something cooked.
Yeah.
Connie really would. Of course, he'd always ask you to stay and eat. Of course, Jack didn't want to be rude. Then we went over there one day and he had a big plate of crappie that high cooked. He's still cooking. I said, man, I never seen such a plate of fish. I said, where'd you catch them at? And he said, right in the upper lip. He wouldn't come, Eddie. All but one day.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
One day he called. Said, preacher, we got things together. We're going to be at church.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
We're going to get back in the house.
Amen.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you, it's good to look back there and see that big arm up there waving, amen.
Yeah.
And see things are restored.
Amen.
To hear them testimonies and see his family come in, his daughters and his grandkids and still get saved. I tell you, it's wonderful when people get restored, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Wonderful. That's what I live for, to see somebody get saved or see somebody get restored.
That's right.
Amen.
Back in the fellowship of God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, if you would, please. I'm not trying to be mean to you this morning. I'm just trying to preach to you. Just praying you won't be the next one to wither up, dry up, and move out. You're not exactly where you need to be with the Lord today.
my message has helped you see some of it. Won't you come? You know, the Lord says, stand forth. Why don't you come today? Say, Lord, I need that life-giving touch. Again, I need restoring. I need reviving. And I need to come today. Is that you this morning? I'm talking to your church members today. Church members today. If you got sin in your life, it'll wither you up. There's some little small something that you're holding out against somebody or something. Just let it go. Just give it to God. And let it dry you up. Is it because you're afraid of what people say?
Open hearts today.
I let you know a secret. They're already talking about
you. Their heart. They'll tell
you. Just come get right with God this morning. Let the Lord restore that.
Set a captive.
Father, I thank you this morning.
Help, Lord.
Let me try to preach again. Thank you for these thoughts you put together in my heart and mind. And give me somewhat of deliverance in it today. Help us to respond accordingly. And Lord, we focused mainly today on the saved people and church members. But if there is a lost one among us today, maybe the Lord's been dealing with them. I pray they'll come forward and believe in Christ. Trust Him for forgiveness of their sins and be saved today. Just have your way in this service today, Lord, and we'll give you the credit and the praise for all that's done that's good. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you, Lord.
113.
Let's mind the Lord.
Yeah.
let you go this morning, Brother Eddie.
Glad I'm saved, preacher. I appreciate the message today. There's a time in my life. A message like this would have made me mad, but I'm glad, praise God, it's different now. Appreciate the preaching. Amen. I'll tell you what, boy, I got right with God, and it made everything else right. I found out the problem wasn't with the preaching. Problem wasn't with the preacher, the problem was with me. And I appreciate the preaching today. Work and labor, the word of God today.
The new song says, all the world looks bright since I got right. Amen. Sing and shout and pray. All right. And yes, ma'am.
Saving my soul.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord for the purpose of that heart today. He hit me right here in my heart.
Amen.
Right here in my heart.
Thank you, man.
You know, I've been accused of a lot of things in my life. Listen. And I've altered several times. But once I got saved, I've never been accused of altering, been silent when it comes to saying enough to walk right with the Lord.
Yeah, man. Amen. That's good, brother.
There's a lot of times I've made a lot of people mad. So, I don't pull no punches today. I am the way I am, and I feel the way I feel. Bless God. This is still America. We still believe the same thing we always did. Thank God we have preachers like you.
Yes.
Not the way that people want to preach. You preach it the way God wants to preach.
Amen.
Thank God for you this morning.
Amen. Bless you, man. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glad you're doing it. So much better. Good to see his family come to church with him.
Praise
God.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. I see your hand. I don't know who it is. Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
So many prayers
answered. Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Gracious,
Lord. Oh, I just thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Passion
spell. I didn't feel like coming today, but I just had to pull it on my heart.
Yeah.
I'm hurt,
but
I got a blessing.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, sister. You see that right hand go up?
Yeah.
And that left hand come up to match it.
Amen.
Anybody else pray for the testimony? Praise for the Lord.
Pastor, I want to thank the Lord for saving me this morning. Yeah. I want to thank him for this message. And I was thinking while you were preaching that and stuff, you know, the Lord's calling us to come to him, and it's our will to come to him. Mm-hmm. You know, he don't make us.
Right.
I mean, God's almighty. He can make us if he chose to. He don't make us. But I was thinking back. I used to remember there was times I'd come home and didn't have chores for me, but there'd be other times he wouldn't, and I'd come home and I'd go do something.
Yeah.
You know, and when he come in from work, and he would be so happy that I wouldn't done something he hadn't told me.
Right.
I'm thinking about heaven. I'm like, well, one day in heaven, excited, and we're there. He's going to say, welcome in, my good, faithful son.
Amen.
And I tell you what, it was a good message this morning. And a lot of person this morning, don't think the Lord won't save you. He come and died on the cross for you. I used to say it so long, and God wouldn't save me. Boy, was I crazy. Was I a fool for saying that, because he will save me. And it's just if you'll come.
Amen.
Right. Praise the
Lord. Well, if we say that, we make him alive.
Yes,
that's right.
Yep.
He said he would.
Yep.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Mark. Bless your heart.
Yep.
All right. Anybody else today? Word for the Lord.
Brother, I'll say something.
Yes.
Thank the Lord for saving my soul.
Amen, Brother Jack.
2014, I had that withered hand of
Amen.
Left the church with no return and got messed up with the wrong crowd.
Bless him, Lord.
I was in the world and of the world. And I won't go through all the details, but Lord, let me see the light.
Good.
Let me see what was going on. And
bless him, Lord. Bless his heart.
And walked over off the scaffold, hurt my leg, almost in a crash. The Lord spoke to me, said, who's going to take the kids to church?
Hey.
Amen.
And thing one thing after other.
Bless his heart.
And I just, get back in church. And
yeah.
There about September, I was searching the website of the Bethel Baptist and looked at the preaching and heard the preaching. Then I hacked on your sermons, and I know I shouldn't have done that, but just a sermon that spoke to me. The Lord said you need to go back to
bed. Right, back to bed.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Told Jacob. Just being back in church.
Yeah, we don't mind that kind of hacking. Amen. I don't know if we're still on the internet or not. But the Rollin Joan Crow, I visited them this week. They watch this services faithfully every week. And they was talking about this week that it was doing so much better. The internet was. And
praise the Lord.
Something had been done different. I said, well, I know Nathan's always working on it. But I said, well, the good thing about that, I said, yeah, Washington here, you can turn it off when you don't like it. And they said, oh, we've never turned it off. They're not withered. They're just sick and not able to come. And a lot of them out there like that. Accord.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for
his
blessings on me and my family.
Amen.
Had a great day yesterday as a family, and I just
bless
thank
him,
you
Lord.
For times like that. It's
amen.
So precious. I just thank you for all his blessings on me and my family.
Praise the Lord.
So.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving me and for being so good to me and my family.
Ooh.
I just want to thank the Lord that I serve a God that loves me and that loves me and will never let me down.
Yeah.
I just want to thank the Lord that I serve a God that when the devil throws his
head,
that I've got a Heavenly Father that
can fight their battles.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lift up a standard.
Brother Close.
Brother Rick, I don't like to talk too much.
Yes,
sometimes I have to.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. I just want you to know, I need this message here today.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, last week, the devil fought me over the matter.
It's your heart.
Yesterday, I got delivered from that. He had to clean it.
Hey.
And I really need to discuss it.
Amen. God bless
amen.
You,
amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to say there, Jack got down. It's true. The Lord won't make you do something, but he can sure make you wish you hadn't.
Yeah.
Amen.
Miss Sandy.
Brother Rick, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the Lord for saving my soul.
Amen.
I want to thank him for all the blessings that he's given me.
Yeah.
I want to thank him for the girls that he sent into my life.
Amen.
Amen.
They said that, you know, I helped them. But, you know, the truth of the matter is they've helped me.
Amen.
And I thank God for that.
Amen.
It's been too long since I have stood and testified to the saving grace of God. And he deserves better.
Yeah.
He deserves better for me and all of God's people.
Amen.
Because he's done so much for me.
Amen.
There may come a day when we may not be able to stand.
That's right.
By the saving grace of God, because we don't look around and we can't see, maybe, but it's coming. It's
yeah,
coming
it is.
In. It's getting closer and closer.
Amen.
And it's because we're living every day in this world that we don't really see how it's seeping into our lives.
Right.
And what it's taken away from us is God's
right.
people.
Right.
And what it's taken away from us is God's children. And we need to be aware. I need to be more aware of what's
that's
happening.
Amen.
And we keep praying to God that he'll take care of it. Well, we read the back of the book and we know what's going to happen.
Amen.
And we just have to hold on to God because all the battles
amen.
Are his.
Amen.
The victories are ours.
Amen.
And I thank God for that this morning. I thank God for saving my soul when I was a 12-year-old girl. I've been many times in my life, a few times, that I've been withered and I had to come back. Thank God that I did. I don't want to be one of those people that fall by the wayside. Follow him since I was 12 and all of a sudden quit following him because times are getting rough and times looking ahead are looking black and bleak. I want to keep going for the Lord. I want to keep doing for the Lord. Whatever it is he wants to give me, I want to do it for him. And I ask that you remember me in prayer. Remember my girls that I might not fail them, but I open my mouth and all the words that come out will be the words that God gave me
amen.
That I can give to them. It's not me that does anything for these girls. It's what God does for these girls.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful that he finds me fit from time to time.
Amen.
Not all the time, but from time to time, he finds me fit to be able to be an instrument and he can use me as a vessel.
Amen.
I thank God for that today because I know I'm so unworthy. I thank God for loving me. I thank God for these girls. Pray for them, please.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, bless you, Samuel. Lord, bless you today.
Amen.
All right, our hearts clear today. We're going to dismiss, and we do appreciate each one that's come out today.
Thank you.
Well,
I'm sorry, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I just want to say he's such a good God.
Yeah.
So good to be in my family.
Amen. Thank you. Bless you, Mom. All right.
Rick.
Yes.
I want to thank the Lord for saving me. I want to thank him for answering prayers. Hannah
amen.
Being with me today. Donnie called me about a week ago. He was into a situation that's probably going to be time in jail. But I told him, I said, son, let's just pray about this. Everything turned out okay. He said he went back to work. And he said, first thing, one of his guys that he works with said, I got something to give you, but I don't want to offend you. So he handed him a Bible. And then he said, where Crystal works, they sent him a Bible home. So he's, Mom, I got two Bibles. And I said, son, that's telling you, you better get back into church somewhere.
Right.
I just want to thank the Lord for answering prayers for me.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
All right, then. All hearts are clear today. We're going to dismiss. Thank you for coming out today. And we're going to ask Brother Tracy Cook if he would dismiss us for the prayer today.
Yeah, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the message tonight. Amen.